Greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. I would like to take this time to personally welcome each one of you. We have you regulars here today. It is such a blessing to see you here. We have visitors from Manitoba, Le Crete, Regina, and I believe there's more, and there's many visitors here today. And it's my prayer that you will feel welcome, and God will bless you through His Word. Thanksgiving. My heart has been blessed as I have studied Thanksgiving, and I want to read Psalms 47, verse 7. I'm going to be using different portions of Scripture today, and I'm going to expound on a portion of Scripture at the end of my message. In Psalms 47, verse 7, it says, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." We are invited to behold all over in Scripture God's greatness. And I want us to understand today that we are in the presence of God. Everything is naked and open before Him. It's my prayer that we will have an experience, or that we will walk by faith, that today we are meeting in the Lord's house and we're hearing from God. He wants us to behold His greatness. And yet we are also told by the psalmist in Psalms 145, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." For us to give God the reverence and the thanksgiving He deserves, we must pursue knowledge or understanding. "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." I believe it is very important that when we give thanks, that we understand. Because when we understand, then we will see the truth, and that will cause a thankful heart. We have, as parents, we have told or taught our children to say thank you, please, please, and thank you. And very often they'll say thank you just out of habit. But I trust that today our hearts will be spurred on. It's been my prayer, Lord, show me, give me the words, speak through me, not me, Lord, you. Spur on your people to be a thankful people. Because when we are a thankful people, I tell you, this world would be different. We look into the world today, and we see everybody protesting, grumbling, and unthankfulness. We must understand. God must reveal to us the things that He has done for us. Moses, when he boldly pleaded in Exodus 33, verse 18, he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Lord, I beg you, show me your glory. Show me your goodness. Isaiah had a vision of the unsearchable glory of God in Isaiah 6, and I'd like to read that in Isaiah 6. Find it here. Isaiah 6, verse 3. Isaiah 6. Verse 3, It says, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." It's my prayer that we will see God's presence. Throughout the history of man, God's glory has been reduced to the image and the corruptible man. We like to bring down God to our level, and that is a great error or folly. And today we must meditate on the wonder of his works. Creation tells us and gives us a great sermon. You just look at creation. I look at sometimes the little things that we might call the little things in life. And I just know from my life, even planting a garden, you put one seed in. And I know one year in a potato patch, I had over 50 potatoes in one plant. That's God's greatness. Creation gives us a great sermon and the things to ponder and to be thankful for. If we go back to Psalms 145, verses 10 and 11. It says, "All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of thy glory, of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power." All thy works shall praise thee. Then in verse 12 it says, "To make known," I'm going to continue to read, it says, "to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and riseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all that wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in the truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." Philippians 4, verse 6, it says that we are to come to the Lord in prayer. We are to make our requests be known unto him with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. I believe God is grieved with the sin of ingratitude. We don't like it ourselves when we do good to others and we see they clearly have no thankfulness in their heart. We don't like it. We hope that they would appreciate the deeds that we have done to them and to be thankful. A sense of dishonor comes over us when we see that those whom we've helped give no thought that we did good to them. God is like us, and that he created us in his likeness. God had the desire that we show appreciation and thankfulness to him for the blessings that we receive. For he is the author of everything good. Every good and every perfect gift comes from him. He is the author of life, the author of health, homes, friends. He's our Savior, salvation, and eternity. The Lord says we are to make our requests with thanksgiving. When we observe ourselves, we ask God for forgiveness many times. You've been on your knees and you've asked for forgiveness. Very seldom do we take the time to give thanks. I'm reminded of a story in Luke chapter 17. It's a very familiar story. And the Lord has brought that to my attention to read it here today in Luke 17, verse 11. It says, in Luke 17, verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he, as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." And we know, if you know the story of lepers, lepers had to be separated. And when someone came close to them, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Now imagine living like that. When you were together, together with other lepers, and you had to stay away from people that were healthy. But when they see Jesus, in verse 13 it says, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourself to the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus healed 10 lepers. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 lepers? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." When I think of those 10 lepers, it says that one took the time to turn back. Now, does that mean that the other 10 lepers were not thankful? I believe if you can just imagine having a sickness like that and all of a sudden being healed, they just did what Jesus told them to do. Go show yourself to the priests. I believe they would have had a relief. They would have had a joy and just been blessed that way. But here we need to, I want us to draw our attention to, it says, and one of them, when he was healed, turned back. He acted. He acted on what he needed to do. And I believe that is the challenge for us today. Very often when we talk in general to people, we say we are so thankful, but who are you thankful to? Have you taken the time to actually go down on your knees or lift up your voice outside when you're by yourself and just praise God, to the living God? He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. We are to give glory to God. It's my prayer that you will meet him today, that you will be spurred on to be thankful, and that it will be for the glory of God. I believe that Jesus, well, he knows everything. He would have maybe said with a sorrowful voice or heart, "Where are the 9? Where are all the others?" Today, I would like to encourage you to take and to be thankful. Be a thankful people. First and most of all, God provided a way for you and for me that we have eternal life, that we have the promise, and we have that living hope. We know that Jesus died for us, and for those of us who have accepted Jesus and accepted what he did for us and repented and have confessed our sins, we know that he has promised us eternal life, and that is the gospel. And I'd like to just read that out of 1 Corinthians 15. I believe the scripture says it so well. 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 1 to 4, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And that should cause us, that he died for our sins. That should cause us to be thankful. Verse 22, or 1 of that chapter, it says, "For since by man came death, you and I were sentenced to death after Adam and Eve sinned. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." What a blessing. My prayer has been that God's word and his message would cause us to think of the blessings and cause us to be thankful. I want us to remind us maybe of the everyday things that we sometimes take for granted. And then after that, I want to read Psalms 103. It says, "I want to remind us as husbands and wives, or parents and children, the spirit of thanksgiving would work miracles in our homes if we were all thankful. It would change our homes. And what a blessing that home would be. There are wives who care little about their husbands except for they pay the bills. We have homes, and very often, when we make remarks about our homes, it is generally about a lack of something. We're still lacking something. Let's speak of how richly we are blessed. I read of a mother who raised 6 children, and at the end of her life, the children came home and said, "Mother, you've always been a good mother. You've been a good mother to us." And the dying mother had tears running down her cheeks. And she said, "Is that really true? Do you feel that way about me? Do you really feel that I'm a good mother?" And they replied, "Yes, mother, we do." And she shared how she had prayed that she wanted nothing more than to be a good mother for her children. But she said, "I never knew how you children felt, that if I had failed as a mother or not. Not one of you ever told me that I was a good mother. That, I say, was an unspeakable tragedy in a home." Let's share our thanksgiving while we can, while we have life and breath. Let's not wait till the dying days. She raised 6 children, and they went from home one by one. Not one ever expressed that they were thankful till she was to die. How sad. I'm sure there are mothers, there's fathers who are waiting for their son or daughter, for a word of thanksgiving from their son or their daughter. There are children waiting for mom and dad to commend them, to thank them for what they mean to them. So often we leave it undone. Maybe your fellow worker, someone that means something to you, don't hesitate to go and say, "I thank the Lord for you." Let's start being a thankful people. Your homes will change. Very often we find ourselves grumbling, complaining, and that's human nature. But may the Spirit of God spur us on to be thankful. God is grieved when we always are condemning, criticizing, speaking harsh tones, and never saying, "Well done." Let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. There should be times when we make no requests. There should be times where we should bless his name, praise his name, the psalmist. Study the Psalms. And I want to read Psalms 100, and I believe 103. And I believe that Psalms 103 is a psalm that I want to leave with you, that you take with you in your life. It will take you through the times when your nerves are no good, when you're depressed, when you're going through dark times, tough times, sicknesses, when you feel faint. Psalms 103 is a call today to thanksgiving. It is the foundation of thanksgiving. When we realize what's in that psalm, and I believe this psalm is very often the things that we want to say and don't say. Psalm 103, it says, the psalmist, he blurts out and he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And again, the second time, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Do you find yourselves that you forget so easy? We are reminded, read this psalm time and time again, "And forget not all his benefits," the benefits of family, the benefits even of today. We're sitting inside in a warm place, and even if the weather is good or miserable, we can fellowship. "Forget not all his benefits." Start counting the blessings. When you get up in the morning, can you breathe? Yes. Can you see? Yes. Can you get up and go to work, provide for your family? Lots of times we complain about our jobs. There's different things we complain about. "Forget not all his benefits." The spiritual benefits. In verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." He forgives us our iniquities. What a blessing. We have maybe in part seen what it's like when somebody is burdened down with sin, and when they meet Jesus at the cross and Jesus forgives them, and how that burden, that stone off of their back is lifted. I just trust that today it will be more real again. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases." It means he is capable of healing any kind of a disease. There's not a disease that he can't heal. Doesn't mean that he will always heal us, but he is capable. Sometimes he uses natural sources, doctors, different ways. Verse 4, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." And how don't all of us just crave and have a desire to be loved? "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things." You know, I remember as a child hearing of people going hungry. And somehow at that time, my faith wasn't as strong as, and yet I had faith like a little child. I often wondered, well, when would be the time when I would have to go hungry? And now I look back in all my years, never once. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." The eagles shed their feathers and they are renewed. It'd be like a new life. Verse 6, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." He looks after those that are oppressed and brought down. He is the righteous judge, and he will bless you that way. Verse 7, "He maketh known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel." He led Moses and the children of Israel. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." "He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever." And I was reminded this summer, when I think of all his mighty acts and his works and promises, and He will not always keep his anger forever. We know that when, in the time of Noah, God caused the judgment to flood. But God also made a promise. He made the bow in the sky. And that promise still stands today. If you can read about that in Genesis chapter 6. And this year, we were blessed at our place. It was a beautiful rainbow. And it just blessed my heart. Thank the Lord for his promise will stand. He will not let you down. And you know, this rainbow was behind the trees, and it was so clear. And I walked behind the trees, and it almost looked like the rainbow was right in front of me. Big and wide and clear. God's presence. Speaking his word to me. And I believe he spoke to many, many others. I believe many took a picture of that rainbow. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, because if he had, we would all be in eternal condemnation. And verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The east and the west will never meet. They are removed. And that's how far he has. Our sin will never meet us again. Jesus has taken it upon him. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are but dust. He knows how you feel. He's gone that road before you. And that's why in Hebrews he invites us to come boldly into the throne of grace in a time of need, because he understands how you feel. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It is an unspeakable gift upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. And that tells me, I've heard parents, grandparents say, well, how is it going to be for our children and grandchildren? I've heard the remarks, we're scared for them. But his mercy, the mercy of the Lord, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. What a blessing. To such as keep the covenant, and to those that remember his commandments and to do them. Let's remember his commandments and do them. Let's live in the fear and awe of God. Verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, and do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The call is here for us to bless the Lord. It is my prayer, as we are celebrating Thanksgiving, and there's another psalm, and the psalmist says, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Psalms 116, verse 12. It says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I render? What shall I give? What shall I do? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. Thanksgiving The Lord wants us to be a thankful people. And today, I believe we have a few minutes yet. I want to give this opportunity. It tells us in his word that we are to bless his name. We see the leper. He turned around and with a loud voice, he glorified God. Is there someone that feels led that you want to share what the Lord has done for you? Just to, in short, it can be something simple, something significant in your life. I want to give this opportunity that you can say thank you to God and that he will receive all the honor and the glory. And don't be shy to be the first one. Anyone, are we going to do it like the psalmist says? Bless his name. Eva Buller says that she's thankful, and I trust that we all are. We had communion here last Sunday. We are to return thanks that Jesus went to the cross, and if it was only for you, he would have done that. Praise the Lord. A few more. Mike is very thankful for healthy children. You know what is a blessing? We can't take nothing ourselves. Everything we have is a blessing from God. Without me, ye can do nothing. Thank you. We had a young brother in the church that fell and broke his hips and wrists. And I believe he's healed. The Lord is healing him. And the parents, and they are very thankful that God has saw them through that. Thank you for sharing that.
I am thankful for having a careful man in the world that's ever had to take care of me.
Brother Abe Giesbrecht, his wife is in the care home. He is thankful for the care home and the people that take care of her. And I just want to thank you, Abe, for sharing that. That God will bless you for it. That you recognize that God is seeing you through. And God has promised never to leave you or forsake you. I know Brother Abe is going through a hard time. Pray for him. We want to uplift each other and hold each other up together. Brother Henry Martins, I believe if I heard right, he had cancer 10 years ago and is healed. And he is very thankful for that. That is very, what a blessing. I don't want to cut anybody off. Don't go and come to me later. I wanted to and I didn't, or I couldn't. Peter Dole mentions that communion was extra special last Sunday when we remember what Jesus has done. Thank you. May God bless you as you continue to serve him. And keep Brother Peter and Celia Dole in your mind, too, as you pray. They are going through a hard time with, I believe, cancer. Peter's dealt with that for some years, and it's not easy. There was someone else here. Lisa. Praise the Lord. He is merciful, isn't he? Lisa's sister, before she died, she had written a letter claiming that Jesus as her Lord and having a desire to be baptized. And those of us would know maybe she had a life of waywardness, and the Lord brought her back. Praise the Lord. Mrs. Ginther, is thankful for the church. The church has been a real blessing to her. And we've had the opportunity to visit you, and it's trust that each one of us will continue to encourage you. And I know we all could sit here and stand here. The list would go on and on. And may the word of God have spurred you on today to be a thankful people and to bring glory to him.
Thank you.
You probably all heard that. I won't repeat it. You can see. Don't need glasses. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Let's worship him. We can worship God in song. We can worship him on our knees. We can worship him and praise him walking on green grass, on dry grass, snow. God only knows how we worship him. I'd like to ask you to just bow with me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look at our congregation, we are a blessed people. We want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you for your redeeming grace. Thank you for your Son. Lord, that we can have life eternal by your grace and your mercy, Lord. Heavenly Father, I'm reminded to pray for those who have lost loved ones. The Fair family, Lord, I pray that you will be near to them. Lord, as they're celebrating Thanksgiving, I pray, Lord, that they will be able to lift up their hearts with thanksgiving, that you still see them through and encourage them day by day. Pray for Dave and Tina. Lord, as they're going through a hard time, I pray, Lord, that you will be near to them. Bless them. Give them strength and courage to carry on in their faith. Pray for Peter and Celia Dole. Lord, I pray that you will bless them, keep them in your hand of righteousness. Allow them to see that you have promised never to leave them or forsake them, that you're always there, that you will uphold them with your right hand of righteousness. And Lord, I believe there's so many others. I pray, Lord, that we as a church, as a congregation, as we're reminded by the Spirit to pray for each other, that we will do that, and that the world will know that we are your disciples by the way we love each other. So I pray, Lord, that you will just bless each one that has come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you all for coming. I want to thank my cousins from La Crete that you have come. It's a real blessing to see you here. Encouragement. May God be with you as you serve him there. My second cousin, once removed, I am told, from Manitoba. May God bless you, and there's people from Regina. There was more, and may God just bless you. It's been a real blessing to have you here, and it's my prayer that God has spoken to you. And I'd like to just close with a benediction and wish you God's blessing as you celebrate Thanksgiving. With a benediction that we find in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You may depart in the peace of the Lord. Did I hear something? Thankful for today's message, you give God the glory.